Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, for the most part, we focus on politics here in Washington. But time to time, we take the time to either talk about the really good things or the really bad things happening at the state government level. We spent a lot of time earlier this year praising the courage of Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, as well as Assembly and State Senate Republicans there for pushing through on very needed state budget changes, as well as collective bargaining changes. We've had a whole heap of praise for Chris Christie and what he's tried to do, and for the most part successfully in New Jersey. Now there hasn't been a ton of attention, but we're almost a week in here to a government shutdown in Minnesota, basically over the same issues that are affecting the Republicans and Democrats nationally over the debt ceiling. There's a budget impasse in the Gopher State. Republicans swept into the majorities for the first time in a long time in the state legislature there on promises of dealing with the budget without raising taxes. Surprise, surprise, the Democratic governor, the former Senator Mark Dayton, says, well, we have to have tax increases to make the books balance out. And the Republicans are standing their ground. I think this is a great example, once again, of the GOP at the state level getting the message loud and clear. And hopefully it'll be a good message for our national congressional figures as they take on the debt ceiling, the budget, and a whole lot more.
Yeah, one of the things that jumps out at me as I watch, you know, from afar the Minnesota fight is just kind of realizing we've been hearing for a long time, Americans say, oh, we want somebody to control spending, we want somebody to cut the budget, we want somebody to control wasteful spending, et cetera, we want somebody to take a hard line on tax increases. And also, we want people to stand by their principles. We don't want people to constantly follow the polls and take the easy way out. Well, Minnesota Republicans are not taking the easy way out here, and they are, obviously in a very high profile, and I think safe to say, pretty darn controversial conflict up there. There is no guarantee this is going to end up with them being popular. We saw a similar fight. I think this is probably comparable to the Wisconsin fight, and it's comparable to what John Kasich is doing in Ohio. And I think it's, you know, all of these fights you're seeing in these state capitals are all of the same thrust, which is not enough money coming in, too much money going out. And the question is, how do you make up that balance? How do you rectify that gap? The Democratic response is always take more money in. And when they mean literally take more money from you. The Republican argument is no, we got to spend less. And it's kind of funny how this is such a radical notion in politics that when they actually try to enact it, you see everything from runaway state lawmakers over in Wisconsin to this fight, where I understand Dayton is you know, and Democratic lawmakers up there are ratcheting up the demagoguery up to 11 and saying this is going to end up with handicapped being tossed out in the snow and all the traditional complaints against Paul Ryan, etc. This is the same fight at the state level, the national level. And I think this is one of those things where this is one of those defining moments for the Republican Party. And that is, they're going to take a stand on principle. And we're going to see whether the American people really meant what they said all those years or whether they want the easy way out. The problem is the easy way out still leads to financial ruin. So the question is, do you want the moderate level of pain now or the much more intense pain later? And as I think, unfortunately, you know, there's always that, I have that lingering doubt that Americans might prefer to put that intense pain later out of their minds and, take the easy way out now. We'll see how things shake out in Minnesota, but at least the Republicans are not folding easily. I can say they drew at least one line in the sand.
Exactly right. The easy choices are not going to accomplish a lot, and we'll see, like you said, if the American people are ready for the difficult choices that need to be made. It's interesting that Chris Christie recently got one of his major issues through the legislature, and one of the top Democrats there basically said in pretty vulgar language that he wanted to punch Christie in the face. So it's good to see that political discourse is alive and well in New Jersey. And apparently it'll be alive and well at the White House on Thursday, because the president yesterday announced he was once again inviting congressional leaders to the White House to make significant progress, as he predicted, on the debt ceiling, which, of course, the magical America implodes date is August 2nd. And here's what the president said about how he expects these discussions to go on Thursday.
It's my hope that everybody's going to leave their ultimatums at the door, that we'll all leave our political rhetoric at the door, and that we're going to do what's best for our economy and do what's best for our people.
Going to be a lot of eerie silence in that room if everybody leaves their political rhetoric and their talking points at the door. Very different strategy from this president. I don't think most people believe him on this, but he sounds a whole lot different than the guy last week who was demagoguing the private airplane corporate jet tax. So apparently that's going to be left at the door tomorrow, Jim.
Greg, first of all, I want to salute you. With that sound clip, you allow listeners to hear pretty much the entire statement from Obama. This was not a quick appearance by any stretch of the imagination, probably less than 5 minutes. Didn't take any questions. The first thing that jumped out at me about yesterday's appearance is that, remember, for much of this year, President Obama has been demanding, I need a clean vote. I need a clean vote. I don't want, you know, he wanted just the debt ceiling to be voted higher, not tied to any spending cuts, not tied to any other deficit reduction proposals. Now, all of a sudden, that's not true. Now, all of a sudden, he says we have a unique opportunity to do something big. Now, I hear that, and Greg, my first response is, Mr. President, the problem is you've been doing something big for a long time, spending big and borrowing big and getting us into a big mess. But, you know, no, now we have to have a big proposal, and we have to make the hard decisions sooner rather than later. That's why they're meeting Thursday. Apparently, we need to do it soon, but not too soon. It's also, I'm glad to see the president inviting the congressional leaders to the White House an entire 6 days after he said going to Capitol Hill to meet with the Republicans to hear them say they are opposed to tax increases would not be a conversation worth having. President Corporate Jets said we have to get out of our comfort zones, and I guess that comfort zone does not include demagoguery. And also, for the umpteenth time, President Obama referred to eliminating tax cuts, eliminating various, you know, deductions, etc., as cutting spending in the tax code. Now, great, to me, when you eliminate a tax cut, that's raising taxes. That's not right. Cutting something. But it's spending in the tax code when you're allowed to keep your money. So, yeah, I'm more of the same from Obama. It's frustrating. It's disappointing. I think one of the things, it's kind of fascinating, the president who began his inaugural, probably the most famous, the most memorable phrase of his inaugural was, it was time to put aside childish things, insists upon handling this all, strikes me in a very childish manner, of everyone's being political except him, everyone's being demagogic except him, everyone's making ultimatums except him. And his ultimatum is that everyone else has to drop the ultimatums.
That's right. Exactly right. Yeah, it's very interesting on the tactics that he's using here, trying to sweet talk the American people. But fortunately, most Americans are literate and have had a basic high school education and pretty much can understand when he's talking about tax expenditures instead of raising taxes. Americans aren't that dumb. So,
Greg, you think you need a high school education to figure that out? Because I spend every day, you know, in a preschool. I'd give a pretty good chance that these kids could figure that out. So.
Exactly right. Well, on the one end, you've got the president saying it's time, you know, for all to sing Kumbaya at the White House on Thursday. At the same time, he's going on radio programs like the Michael Basedon Show and saying that the Republicans get their way. If Republicans are successful in next year's elections, there's going to be hand-to-hand combat, Jim. I haven't gone through my training yet. I don't know about you, but come 2013, if in fact the Republicans are in control and then these policies that he's worked so hard to get approved for the American people and make America a better place to live are going to be severely threatened, and literally the term that he used was hand-to-hand combat. Jim, I guess it's been years, not months, since Tucson when we were apparently supposed to drop all this rhetoric, because now if anyone dies in America from hand-to-hand combat, it's the president's fault.
You know, Greg, now I guess we now finally see that the sinister purpose of Michelle Obama's diet and nutrition plans is to get us all in fighting shape. boy, you know, remember when, I think it was Jonah Goldberg observed earlier today, remember when Obama was going to heal our souls, in his wife's words, and you know, he was going to deal with that emptiness to us, and he was not going to allow us to go back to our cynicism, and now it's Mortal Kombat! We're having techno music, it's suddenly we're in Thunderdome, and all that. Like, you know, during the whole aftermath of the Arizona shooting, there are a lot of folks who said, you know, it might be nice if we watch our rhetoric a little more carefully. And, you know, we shouldn't treat campaign war rooms as actually war rooms. There's something to be said that, you know, political divisions are not the same as military divisions, and political conflict is not the same as military conflict. And maybe we should tone things down a little. But then, you know, Obama goes out and does something like this, and, you know, only people like you and I say, hey, wait a minute. And, you know, it shows that nobody really meant any of the stuff that they said earlier in the year. It's, you know, just a matter of, it's another partisan cudgel to beat somebody over the head over, but now I realize I've just done it myself.
Exactly.
It's a partisan cudgel to nudge someone, apparently. Nah, that's still battery.
Oh, well, as the poll numbers continue to stay low, I can only assume that more of this desperate rhetoric will be coming. In the midterm elections, when he wasn't even on the ballot, we were the enemy. So I can only imagine what's going to happen if his hide is on the line.
What's above enemy? It will be nemesis? Nemesis?
I guess so. Jim, have a great day. We'll figure out what's crazy tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.